Well, good morning again, everybody. A life-changing ministry. We thank God for you out this morning. We're a little earlier this morning than normal. But we thank you for everybody being here at church this morning. Thank God for you. And let's pray, inviting God's presence. Amen. Father God, we thank you for an opportunity to be in your presence. And Father God, we thank you that it's all of you and none of me. And speak to my mind and speak to my vocal cords, Lord God. Let something be said to help your people. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. God, you're welcome in this place. Jesus, you're welcome in this place, Father God. And we just give you all the praise and glory and honor. And Lord God, let something be said to minister to your people, to impact their lives, and to keep them closer to you and keep them walking for you and keep them loving on you and keeping them reminding you that you love them so much, Father God. Lord God, we give you all the praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, y'all know we've been talking about Jehovah Jireh, our provider, knowing that God is our provider. And I want to add some things on to that with this here is knowing that God is our provider, that he can provide, he can never fail in no type situation or fashion. He is always able and willing to supply our needs. But I'm going to go a few review of some things and let you know what we to piggyback on the Jehovah Jireh. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 8. Genesis chapter 22, 1 through 18. It says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I like what it says. So God, what God wants you to do is, what are you willing to give up to be more like God? What are you giving up? What are you willing to give up to be more sacrificial unto God? What is something you can give up in your life that could be holding you back from going to the next level? We said, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Conformed is what's going on in the world right now. Transformed is what could be when you're changing from the inside out. Now you have to say, what am I willing to give up to be more like God, to be more Christ? What does it say this for a reason? What is the reason to give the things up? Is it to be religious? No. Is it to be like you better than somebody else? No. What is the reason it's for? It's saying, if I give these things up, I can hear what? God's voice and have a relationship with God. That's the reason I give these things up. If I can give these things up. Go to Psalms 51, 10 through 19. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the what? Right spirit within me. I'm going to stop there for a minute. Renew the what? Right spirit within me. You got to make sure you have the right spirit in you. That right spirit created me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. If you have not accepted Christ in your life, you do not have the right spirit in you. Renew the right spirit within me. When you can have the right spirit within you living and abiding in your life, now you know that God is there renewing the right spirit within me. It said, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Why was he saying that? Because when you really have a relationship with God, your strongest thing you have is the Holy Spirit connected to you. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. He is a friend. He is someone that can connect with you at all times. So when you have the Holy Spirit in you, the comforter now, he is the one that can start changing you and making you a better person because you have the Holy Spirit in you. How many know when God comes in you? Now we're talking about Jehovah Jireh, your provider. God wants to provide everything in your life. But what he wants more than anything, even though you give, you tithe, God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to have a relationship with him completely. When you can have that relationship with God and you can walk in the things of God and do the things that God wants you to do, now you're becoming more like him. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The purpose of Jehovah Jireh is for to get a closer relationship with God so he can get to know you and you can draw nigh to him. And when you draw nigh to him, he wants to make you more like him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. So therefore, any man who in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Old things are passed away. So when you become in Christ, your nature should start to change because you become another person. Your spirit has changed. Certain things that you used to do don't taste the same no more, so you don't want to do it anymore. That's an evidence that the old nature has changed. See, we come into this world as what? Sinners, right? Right? We came into this world as sinners, but when we come into this world as sinners, the key thing that God wants to do in our life, he wants to start to not have us as sinners no more. Now we're labeled as what? Righteous people. But one of the key components of knowing that Christ is in you is you began to what? Change internally. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. What becomes new? Your inner person becomes new. What becomes new? That relationship that you hungering for God, that becomes new. And that's the newness. The strongest thing a man can do, I always say, is yeah, work out, exercise, do all that. But as you change, your spirit change. Now, that scripture makes more sense when you go back to Romans 12 and 2 when it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed, but transformed. Transformation from the inside out. When you're changing from the inside out, it's because Christ is living and breathing on the inside of you. That's the new man that becomes. You actually become a new, but you become a better person because of Christ. Well, so when it comes down to Jehovah Jireh, your provider, God providing in every aspect in your life, you got to say, what is it that I need God to provide that he can provide for me? God can provide even when it comes to emotional things that could be affected with you and any spiritual thing that could be affected with you. God is that provider. He can provide. But I want you to start seeing that a new creature. Therefore, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Say it with me. I am new in Christ. Say it again. I am new in Christ. So when you're new in Christ, you become a better person in Christ. You become something that's different because Christ now is living and breathing on the inside of you. God is in you. And when you know that Christ is in you, now you want to become something different than what's in the world. When Christ comes in you, there's a joy that passes all understanding. There's peace that passes all understanding when you have God living and breathing on the inside of you. God is there. No, I want you to see the image of God being there in you. So when you see this now go to. So the main thing I'm trying to get you to focus on, I'm going to in the scripture in a minute, is the way you get God to be Jehovah Jireh is already there for you. But the main thing that God is trying to get to you is trying to get you to change and to become more in the image of him. More like him when you become more like him. Go to 2 Peter 3 and 9. You are a new creature in Christ. You have Christ living and breathing on the inside of you. God is there with you. He's living there. He's your source. He's your everything. God is there for you. 2 Peter 3 and 9. Hallelujah. God is there for you. 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come what? To repentance. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come what? To repentance. He don't want any man to perish, but he want us to all come what? To repentance. A repentant, another person was God being Jehovah Jireh of your life. When you have a repentant heart to want to seek God, when you do something wrong and you will make some mistakes, But a person that has a repentant heart says, Lord, I want to change. I don't want to be in this same nature no more. A repentant heart is a person's heart who begins to change toward Christ. Repentance means you change your state of mind. Repentance means when you've done something, you say, God, I want to be more like you. So when you have the image of Christ in you, a new creature, sin don't taste the same no more. You should not sin and think that it's okay. It don't taste the same anymore. When you began to change in Christ, his word in you begins to change you, makes you another person. Say it again. I am a new creature in Christ. Say it again. I am a new creature in Christ. So that means when you come in Christ, the old nature, the sin nature, somebody always asked me, well, how you know you saved? I said, when you get in Christ, things you used to do that you used to know was wrong, you don't want to continue to do them anymore. Amen. That's a repentant heart. You say, I don't want to do that no more. It just don't take the same. Somebody said, what's wrong with you? You said, no, something ain't wrong. Why you want to hang with us and do this no more? Why you want to change? Because your heart has changed and you become more in the image of Christ and you become more and more like him constantly. When you have Christ in you, God, Jesus now is concerned about everything that's in you. So what I'm looking at with Jehovah Jireh is, yeah, your provider, God can provide like he did for Abraham. He will keep. But what God is trying to do, what I'm trying to shape and mold you to be, is to be more like Christ and in his image. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God with passive all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God that passive all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. So the peace of God, somebody say, it's a peace that you can get that only can come from God. That the peace of God that comes from him. So when you have Christ in you, it may be something you may be going through, but I want to let you know is remind yourself that God is Jehovah Jireh. Whatever you need, I said it before in Bible study, he has the supply to take care of it. He is the supplier for you to take care of it. Seeing God as Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He is the one that can provide in every aspect. Now, I want to go with this story here to talk about this, and we talked about it in Bible study some, but I want to piggyback on it and give some more examples of it. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by the ship into a desert place. Where the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past that the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said to him, thy need not to depart, give them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up into heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat and they were filled and they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Now, what was so powerful about this scripture here? When I seen, you know, we know God as Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We know Jesus is our friend. But I like what it says here. In this scripture here, what was Jesus doing that was so powerful? First, he was teaching them about the things of the kingdom, right? It was over 5,000 people there. He was teaching them about the things of the kingdom. So he had that compassion on him to teach them about the things of the kingdom. But what was so powerful to me as well is that Jesus was concerned about their soul and their spirit. But also after he found that they was hungry, did he provide for them?
He did.
He provided for them when it came to their spirit and their soul. He was feeding them, and then he fed them naturally. So that lets you know is God, Jesus, also is concerned about your spirit. Yes, he's concerned about you going to hell. Yes, but he also concerned about you on this physical earth. And when he has that ability to know that he's your provider that on this physical earth, he wants you to be taken care of in every aspect possible. He don't want you sick. He don't want you depressed. He don't want you down. He don't want sin overcoming you. He wants to see you overcome in every aspect in your life. So what I'm amazed with as seeing Jesus, your provider, seeing him there in your life, he can provide anything and everything for you in this world if you believe it. Amen. You got to believe that he's your supplier. Believe that he can supply everything in your life. Believe that he's your best friend. Believe that he can do everything that he's supposed to do in your life. Knowing that he is your supplier. So in this scripture here, you are seeing Jesus another way of supplying. So I want you to say to yourself, see yourself as him as a supplier. To have it in the, almost like when you order something online, it's at Amazon. They have it at Amazon. They can supply it to you. It's nothing lacking. You know what? This is another scripture I'm going to hit while we're going there. Go to Mark chapter 5. We always talk Mark chapter 5. It's nothing lacking. He has the ability to supply everything that you need in life. He's concerned about everything when it comes to that in your life. Mark chapter 5. Now, in Mark chapter 5, we know the scripture here. And I wanted you to see something with Jairus' daughter, how he supplied, he took care of her, but he also took care of the natural as well. So God is concerned about your spirit, soul, your body, and your natural side. Now, if you look at verse, I want you to see here, I don't really want to read the whole thing, but I want you to see where Jairus' daughter was healed and how Jesus, see him as a supplier, took care of those things that happened. Go to verse 34. Mark chapter 5, verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and the whole of the plague. That's what issue blood. But while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue, house of certain which the daughter, saying, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thy master any farther? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. Only what? Believe. And he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in the end, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when they had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumma, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And there came a great astonishment and charged them straightly that no man should know it. And commanded that something should be given to her to what? Eat. Now here we go again, looking at God, but looking at Jesus as your supplier. In this situation here, how did the situation look? It looked like when they came to Jesus and the girl was physically dead and they came to him and said, look, don't trouble the master. She's dead. Don't bother her. Don't bother him. But in this situation, it looked like it was over. I'm showing you Jesus as your provider. When it looked like it was over, Jesus came in the room when it looked like death was there. Remember, it was so much going on with that. It say like for here, the funeral home was there to pick her body up. So when Jesus and them showed up, Jairus showed up, they said, hey, man, she already dead. And Jesus said, no, she not dead. She's sleeping. They started laughing at him. He started calling those things that be as though they were. But Jesus, as the provider, it looked like it was all over. Here we go again. When it looked like things could be all over, when Jesus shows up, he can make things that look impossible what? Possible. See, it could be something in your life where you say, where do you need him to provide in your life? What is something that could be lacking in your life? He is the one that can supply. He can tell you what you can do. In this situation here, it looked like it was all over. They came to pick him up and they said, hey, Jesus, don't trouble him. Don't bother Jesus. It's over. But when Jesus walked in that room with the right, and I'm going to say this, sometimes when you believe in God for something, you got to connect with the right people. Something that's profound here. When Jesus came, he said certain people he had to put out because they didn't have the faith. They wouldn't believe it. He said, hey, you go. You and you come with me. Sometimes when you got believing God for something, some of the effects of what you're hearing and what you're around can be affecting you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by what you continually to hear. If you're continually hearing, if your body could be sick or something, you need to hear by stripes you hear. You need to be around folks who are building you up. Don't be around negativity saying you can't. I've been through that before. It's so hard. Like, no, you need to be around faith building people. And there's something here that Jesus did that was profound. He got the negativity out of his life. He said, you must go. You got to get out of here. And now because of him having that, Jesus as your provider, he is Jehovah, your provider. He walked in that room and looked like it was all over. And he raised that girl from the dead. And guess what? Here we go again. He was concerned about a natural side because he said, hey, now give her something to eat. Jesus, God is concerned about your spirit, your soul, your body, and everything about you. I want you to see God as a person that is looking down on you and seeing everything and is concerned about you in every way. And he wants to see you successful in every aspect of your life. Now, can you imagine this? What did that do for when that happened for him? When he raised that girl from the dead, what did that do for the family? See, sometimes that's right. Come, Bill. Sometimes the stuff that you're going through in life, other people need to see Christ in you so they can keep going on in Christ. When Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, do you think Jairus' wife now looked at God and at Jesus in a different aspect? Yeah. Jesus is real. He really can do it. When it looked like it was over, Jesus, the provider, when he showed up, Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, when he showed up in this aspect, it looked like things was dead and God raised it up and brought it up. See, it could be something lacking in your life. I ask you to really cast your care on him for he cared for you. Give it to God. And now when he does that, when you do that, expect him to give you a plan to execute here on this earth that can bring success. Expect him to tell you something to do on this physical earth that can bring success in this world. And when you do that, the world say, how did you make it through that? Because now you connected to the source, Jesus Christ, your provider. You have him even living on inside of you. He can tell you something to do in the natural on this physical earth that can bring success in your life. Amen. Amen. So now when you see him as your friend, your source, or someone that loves you in this situation. We showed with the lady with the issue of blood, or we talked about that a little, but we talked about when Jesus came in and he healed this girl in her life. He knew something was needed and was provided. You know, a lot of times we talk about the first miracle. Everybody knows in the Bible, the first miracle when Jesus turned water into wine. Why did Jesus turn the water into wine? He didn't turn the water into wine for folks to say it's okay to drink wine. He did it because something was needed. He was a supplier. It was needed. So when he came and said, do whatever Jesus tell you to do, and he went and he turned that water into wine, it was something that was needed so the ceremony could keep going on. That didn't okay somebody to go and drink wine and be drinking all around and making excuses to drink wine. That's not what they were saying. Here go another aspect, just the story of him again was supplying what was needed. Jesus was the supplier of what was needed. So when you start seeing that, what is it something that you could be lacking that he could be the supplier? You could be lacking some confidence on something. Say, God, give me the, and start filling yourself up with things around you. He can supply that lack of confidence up and build confidence up in you to do what you need to do. It was something I was praying about this morning and making decisions on. And God said, if God before you, who can be against you? If God, and if you have that mindset to know that God is with you, to know that God loves you and God will never leave you nor forsake you, no matter you may be going through something and got to make decisions on something, know that God is what? With you, in you, on you, around you. He's in you. And when you have that mindset to know God is with me, he's in me, he's on me, around me, he can start activating and be Jehovah Jireh in your life, because you know he wants to make you successful. Amen. You know he loves you. Say it with me. God what? Loves me. Say it. God what? Loves me. Say it again. God what? Loves me. When you start hearing that over and over, that God loves me, he wants me successful, he wants me healed, he wants me whole, he wants me well, hallelujah, God, you are my provider. Thank you, Jesus. When you start seeing that, now you're seeking a more stronger relationship with Jesus. I always tell you, it's good to come to church and get the word, but the devil is afraid of a Christian who begins to apply what they learn. See, people perish for lack of knowledge. But you know what God said to me this morning? People fail because they don't apply what they have. See, the devil don't care you getting the word. He don't care you come. But when you start doing it, when you start believing it, when you start really believing, I'm like when they came to Jesus and said, don't trouble the master no more. Your daughter is dead. And Jesus looked at me and said, what you going to do? You going to keep believing the word? He said, I keep believing. Come on. What you going to do? And they said, don't trouble no more. The doctor say they're going to die. It's over. I would keep believing to the end till it's over. That's not saying no Christian ain't going to go through nothing, but you got to keep pushing and keep believing in every aspect to the end that it will not be over, that God will and always will supply every need. Go to Matthew chapter 17, because we're going to be alone this morning. Matthew chapter 17. He's a supplier. I saw something that I thought was amazing, that God, Jesus knew something that needed to be done. Here he goes supplying again, seeing he's at a supplier, doing what he needs to do again. Matthew chapter 17, verse 27. Verse, I'm going to read 26 to 27. It says, Peter said unto him, of strangers, Jesus said unto them, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. He was paying his taxes. But when I saw that scripture, I was amazed at the fact that Jesus knew to tell him to go to a place to get a fish, to get the money, to take care of what he needed to take care of. Now, I would really say in this aspect, we might not be seeing no fish, no money in their mouth. God could do that too. But what I was amazed with the scripture here, Jesus knew something was needed. The taxes needed to be paid. Now, in this scripture here, he told Peter to go to the fish's mouth and get the money out. But what, that may not happen a lot with us nowadays. But what was I amazed about was Jesus concerned about his financial well-being? Yes. Was Jesus concerned about his taxes? Yes. So Jesus was concerned about, when you see Jesus, see him as a person that has compassion on his people. When you read the Bible, it say in every aspect, you see him say, and he was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion means he went around healing the sick, raising the dead, moved with compassion. Anything that was contrary, that looked dark, he brought lightness to it. He was moved with compassion. So when you see Jesus move with compassion in your life, what is the compassion that you need Jesus to move in your life? Could it be something that you're reaching out to family members and you're not getting the love you want to get? Jesus still can heal you in areas in your life that maybe they're not receiving you as you want them to, but he can heal you. Remember how he said, love the Lord thy God with all that heart, that soul, and mind. He said, if you love me, all that, that's the first commandment. If you love the Lord thy God with all that heart, soul, and mind, he said, hang everything else on this, because if you're loving him more, nothing wrong with human love, I always say it. But if you have God love first and human love second, you'll be successful more in life. If you put human love before God love and it don't get everything you should get, there's nothing wrong. Something would happen with that then is you depend on that person more than you should do God. And when you have God first and then that person comes second, the relationship and things can grow and you won't be hurt so bad or upset so bad when people don't come through like you expect they should. But you must have what? I'm going to say it with me. You must have what? God love what? First. Human love what? Second. God love first, human love second. So when you can have those together, and you're knowing, and you have, and you know that God sees everything, Jesus loves me. He loves me in every aspect. He knows. But I was amazed with the scripture here. Jesus knew that Peter needed something to pay the taxes, so he told him to go to the fish's mouth and go get some money and took care of his taxes for him. Isn't that amazing? So anything that you need, Jesus can take care of it in your life that he's to go to him. If it's something that's bothering you, go to God and talk to him. Reach out and say, God, that bothered me. Help me with that so I can be known as the Jehovah Jireh, the provider in your life. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He is your provider in your life. He wants to provide in every aspect. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And it says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye are always having sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And it says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Say it with me. He can make what? All grace abound towards you. All grace. All, I mean, grace is whatever is needed, he can supply. He can make all grace abound toward you, that always having all sufficiency in all things. So he has all sufficiency. So what I try to do is when I teach you, try to get you on the example of seeing Jesus wanting to have a relationship with you so you can grow in God and you can conquer what goes on in this physical world. We know the scripture how it says, trial and tribulation will come, but be ye what? Good cheer. I have overcome the trouble of the world. He is the overcomer. He has overcome the troubles of the world. Whatever trouble come in the world, you have him in you to overcome it. Don't ever let the devil start making you think you can't. Start realizing you can, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Sometimes you got to get up and you fight, but you have the overcomer living and breathing on the inside of you. God himself is there. You have Jehovah Jireh there, your provider. He's living there, but he wants you to. You have to tap into him. And as you tap into that relationship with God, Christ, see, Satan, what his job is to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. He don't want you to know that you have power in you to overcome what may be coming your way. You have greatness in you. You have God in you. You have the greatest ability of all power living and dwelling in you. But when you know that and you see that, you know, I'm going to roll down, but I should go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll be there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, but have ye renounced the hidden things of dishonesty? I'm going to stop right there. Have ye renounced the hidden things of dishonesty? See, Lord, is there anything in your life? Renounced means to denounce, or anything that's a deeper form of repentance. Of anything that could be in my life that's not of God, that I think I may be hiding from God. And he wants you to renounce it so God can, as Dad said, bring a refreshing to him. See, another thing about Jehovah Jireh, he wants an established relationship, but I like the scripture, but he have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Examine your life. Say, anything in my life that may be dishonest, God, help me to get it out of me so I can have that relationship. Like what is it? Keep reading the scripture says, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully. That's like making excuses for something. If you did something, God can forgive you, but don't keep making excuses to say what you did was right when you know what you did was wrong. That's renouncing. Renouncing something in your life. Sometimes I had something in my life that I didn't know where I had some unforgiveness, and I had to say, Lord, help me to forgive those person. I renounce anything that's not of God in my life when it came to that. I don't want none of it there. Renouncing, getting it out of your system. Not in every man's conscience in the sight of God. But I like what the scripture says in verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are what? Lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, least the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God is shined unto them. Notice something. The devil, he, it says, has blinded the minds. A lot of time we read these scriptures is we don't blind. When you blind the mind, see, we read the scripture, we'll think blind means he do this. Cover your eyes up. Devil say that's blinding the mind. No, Satan is blinding your mind, not your eyes, your mind to make you think that you can't over, you can't conquer, or you can't win, or you're defeated. He wants to defeat you in your what? Mind. So if he can get you in your mind to make you think that God don't love you, he won't provide. That's why you read the word of God. When we read Romans 12 and 2, it said, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may have to renew your mind to the fact of sometimes maybe something you may have done and ask God to forgive you. Renounce it. Ask God to forgive you. Renew your mind to the fact that God loves you and perfect love casts out fear. And you start saying, wait a minute, God loves me. But the devil want to get in your mind that he don't care. He wanted to keep in your mind that God don't want you healed. He don't want you to renew your mind with the word of God. And when you start renewing your mind constantly with the word of God, now you start to think different. I'm supposed to be successful as Christians. Amen. As Christians, we're not supposed to be sick, broke, impoverished, going down, everything, things going to happen. But as Christians, we should be what? Successful. Happy, whole, well, doing the thing that God wants us to do. But if it's something coming your way, you say, God, help me with this. Renounce anything. And sometimes you may not have known it was there. Sometimes it's not always an exterior sin. It could be something internally that could be affecting you and you not knowing. Unforgiveness could be there. Pain from something else could be there. A bad business deal that you did with somebody years ago and you didn't forgive them and you didn't know. That's a part of renouncing. That's a part of repentance. And you can say, God, I didn't know about that. I don't know. I was angry about that. I mean, I'm getting back going to business stuff now. And I remember a guy that showed me something with somebody. I had did some real estate with somebody years back. And deep down, I was angry because they got away with some money. They did me wrong. God said, you got to forgive them, Terry. You got to forgive them so I can open up in you. Because what it does, if you let that stuff stay there, you will be captivated, in fear. Because of something that happened in the past, you won't forgive or you holding it. And God is trying to get you to the next level. But because of fear of what happened in the past, you won't go toward the future. And you're staying in that same situation because of the fear of it may happening again. Renouncing, repenting, asking God to forgive you for it so we could take it to the next level. That's a form of increasing your faith. That's a form of having Jehovah Jireh as your provider also in your life. Providing. Sometimes, sometimes sicknesses can take place in somebody's body because of what they let hold the hell on to some stuff internally over the years. I talk to some people, they say when they come to unforgiveness, sometimes unforgiveness, not in all cases, can start the process of cancer internally, and people not know it because they held something angrily so long. Your body was not designed to hold on to evilness and anger and bitterness. The Bible wouldn't say that. You're supposed to go to Ephesians chapter 4, I'll be talking. I know I ain't with that one. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll get you there. You wasn't designed to hold on to those things. You were designed to walk in peace. Your body wasn't designed to be sick of those things. Ephesians chapter 4. 27 through 32. It says, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steals steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know what? And I'm going to say that corrupt communication don't always mean use a profanity. Corrupt communication means something contrary to what the word says, or you're angry about something deep down inside and you're not saying good things. But that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, look at that, all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And here goes the word said, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven what? You. That's a part of Jehovah Jireh too. Keeping a relationship with God so you can keep hearing his voice.
voice of a stranger you will not follow. You can keep hearing God's voice, a voice of a stranger. You won't go astray. You won't be hearing things. But I would say this always. See, part of the corrupt communication could be because you're still angry within your heart. Some folk could have been through a divorce, and you still got anger in you because of what that person did to you. You have to go to God and say, God, help me renounce, get this stuff out of my system. Help me repent of it, because God is still the God of a second chance. He still loves you, but you got to heal within your heart so God can tell you the things you need to do. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit. We read it earlier. Renew the right spirit within me. So when you create in me a clean heart, you have to have the Holy Spirit in you. But I've learned you can have the Holy Spirit in you and you be angry about things and not allowing it to create in you a clean heart and hear God constantly. I don't know why God gonna be on that. So when you look at it and say, God, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. Let me have a kind one to another. You ever met somebody, sometimes they just snap at everybody. Just mean, how you know? I'm just, how you know? Yeah, whatever. Yeah, they just mean snap. Within their heart, there's something that's hurting. You could have in your heart what job let you go and you gave everything you're supposed to. They came and they fired. You angry about that. You ain't found another job yet because you still angry. Let God heal you within your heart. So when he starts healing you within your heart, he can start providing everything you need. We're going to go to the scripture. We're going to get ready to go. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. We know this scripture. But watch your mouth for what you say over your life as well. See, we know the scripture. It says, verse 10 and 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved, right? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But with some guy led in my heart with this scripture, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. But if thou shalt confess what the word says about you and believe it in your heart, what the word says about you, and then God can raise that situation or problem in your life and you shall be saved from it. That makes sense. I'm going to say it again. When you have the word in your heart, confess the word in your heart, confess it with your mouth, and you believe it in your heart, then thou shalt be raised from the dead with your spirit, but you shall be saved from the situation. So how does that be? Somebody could say, if I believe in my heart in healing, say it out my mouth, by stripes I'm healed, believe it in my heart, I can have manifestation in my life because I could be saved from the situation that's going on in my life. You could be dealing with financial in your heart. Say, God, I believe that you shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Say it with your mouth, believe it in your heart, and see yourself saved from the situation. When it comes to anything, the confidence, it may be something new goals you're stepping out on. And you feel like you don't have the confidence to do it. While we in Romans 10, same scripture, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Faith comes by what you hear. What are you feeding yourself? Yes, hear the word. Listen to positive things. Stay away from negativity when you're working on new goals in life. You must. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And once you keep hearing it over and over, you're a winner. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And God loves me. And perfect love casts out all fear. And you start saying that to yourself over and over and over again. And you hear that. Guess what? You began to believe that. That's how it gets in your heart. What you put on your eyes, your ears, and your mouth is what gets in your heart. I'll say it again. What you put on your eyes, what you listen to with your ears, and what you say with your mouth. Those are three gates, how it gets into your heart. So if you're putting good things on your eyes, if you're hearing good things with your ears, and you're saying good things with your mouth, you're having good things in your heart. If you're putting wrong things in your eyes, and you're saying the wrong things to yourself, and you're not, and you're listening to the wrong stuff in your heart, you don't believe. You know what stops a man or a woman from succeeding? It was time I didn't believe, like I'm believing more in God. They simply don't believe they can do it. I can't do that. What you mean you can't do that? You keep believing you can do it, somebody else could do it. What one man could do, another could do. If what one man could do, another could do. You got to believe it. If he did it, I could do it. If she did it, she could do it. I ain't never wrote no book before. What if they did it, you could do it. I ain't never did it. Whatever you can't never thought you couldn't do with God on your side in you, you could do another level because God now is with you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. What are you continually hearing and what are you around? Don't allow negativity things to get in your heart. Even if it's a family member. Don't let it get in your heart. You love them, but you must renew your mind. Because sometimes be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Sometimes somebody, they may only know what they know. That's conformed. They only may know something. You know, like one, it's like a joke I heard, like a lady said she used to cook turkey. You know, she made turkey, but she would cut the turkey legs off the turkey. And the husband asked, why come every Christmas you cut the turkey legs off the turkey? Why you just won't, you know, cook the turkey with the turkey legs on it? He said, well, my mama did it that way. And she asked somebody else, and she said, her mama did it that way. And she asked him, said, why did you cut the turkey legs out of the turkey? He said, well, at the time I did that because my stove was too small to put the turkey legs in there. That was conformed. They were doing it somewhere, and then other things that opened up that don't mean it was the right way. You love your family. You love folks close to you. But sometimes you have to renew your mind when you're working on something that's different than what they know. Something that's different. You writing the book. Girl, don't write no book. I ain't ever wrote no book in there. You finna write a book? Who gonna listen to you? Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing. You finna buy a house? Ain't nobody never bought no house before. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just because somebody else didn't do it don't mean it can't be done. Just because somebody else couldn't do it don't mean it can't be done. Whatever God wants you to do, he believes in you. Jesus believes in you. But when you get the word in you, you start to believe that he wants you to do it. You believe, I believe. You believe, yeah, I believe. You believe you want me here, yes. You believe you want to be successful, yes. You believe you want me, yes. You start believing, and you start doing it. You start saying, wait a minute, God, I believe. And God start doing more. Because it's the level of your belief. Some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. 30 fold, that's 70% of unbelief. 60, that's 40%. 100 fold is you're pinging and knowing that God wants you well, whole, not sick, successful, something great in this world, something great in this life. He wants you to be number one. So we're going to wrap it up. He wants you to be number one in your life. He wants you to be successful in every aspect. Say this with me. I am successful in Christ. Say it again. I am successful in Christ. I know he is my provider. He is my Jehovah Jireh. Nothing he don't want to provide in your life. So stand to your feet for me real quick. It's time for me to go. This week, know that God wants to provide. Know that God wants you to be successful. Do something extraordinary that you ain't never done before. Step out the box. Do something that whatever God tell you to do, step out and believe in it. I got some training I got to do this week. I'm stepping out and I'm going all the way. Amen. Some distractions had to come. I said, no. Sometimes you got to see, sometimes when you're working on something, you got to hear God if it's a distraction or if it's protection. So important to hear God because the enemy don't want you to go to the next level. He don't. But guess what? God does.